Library Audiobooks presents Honor, the true story of a young Muslim's refusal to be enslaved by the culture of honor. Written and narrated by me, Fazana Riley Pearson. Prologue. Prisoners. Locked in the heat of a dark, airless room, the girl and her younger sister waited with dread, comforted by the fact that whatever happened, they were together. The older girl's hair was damp with perspiration, and the humidity made her cotton chemise cling to her body. It was early evening, but outside it was already dark, for in the east there is no transitional period of dusk where the day lingers lazily into evening. In this part of the world, the sun gathers up her golden skirts and makes a hasty retreat before night falls swiftly. The crickets had started to sing their familiar night song as the blistering heat of the day gave way to a welcome evening breeze that breathed a soft scent of orange blossom and night jasmine across the courtyard. But no breath of cool night air reached the claustrophobia of this small, dusty room where the thick heat made it difficult to breathe. Elsewhere in the house there were cool tiled floors and open windows where brightly coloured curtains danced beneath the humming bunkers. But in this room the door was closed and the one small window was shuttered and barred. Here there was a bare concrete floor and an old pedestal fan that had been turned off earlier that evening as punishment, before the door had been firmly closed and the bolt drawn. This room had been located in the main body of the bungalow when it had first been built by her dada, her paternal grandfather, for his wife and young family. Years later, when those children had grown up, the girl's mother had come to this room as a new bride. After the young couple had left, the room had been taken over by other members of the family, as one by one, the other sons were married off and their brides in turn were brought to live here. Then, as the third generation of the family expanded and more children were born, the family had built outwards and upwards, with more rooms and another grander story being added. The house had changed beyond recognition since their parents had last lived here all those years ago. Now, this room was considered too insignificant to be used as anything other than a storeroom. For the past few months, it had also been their prison. "They're going to murder us, aren't they?" the younger sister asked in a whisper. It was more of a statement than a question. But the thought of being killed here suddenly brought the reality of their situation home. To die here in this room would indeed be ironic, because it was in this very room that the older girl had been born 24 years ago. "I think so," she replied, no longer having any comfort to offer. Perhaps it was better that they should admit the unspeakable and prepare themselves for the unthinkable. For months, the girls had clung to the hope that they would have a miraculous change of heart and release them, or that they might escape to the British Embassy and demand their rights as British citizens to be given sanctuary and returned home to England. But now, even this hope was fading. There was no hope left. A wave of homesickness caused an involuntary sob to catch in her throat as she remembered how they'd been told they would never see England again. She knew she would either die here or go insane. "Do you think they'll come tonight?" the younger girl asked. She didn't know. Maybe. It depended on whether the family's izzet, their honour, could be salvaged by killing them. For this was an Islamic state, and in Pakistan honour killings happened every day. They had been told in great detail that people could do anything to them here, told of girls who had been murdered for dishonouring their families by immoral conduct. The nature of that immorality was a very subjective test, with the killer being judge, jury and executioner. And what's more, instead of being punished,